Hallelujah. I was thinking about serving y'all a milkshake tonight. And I started getting people didn't like that idea. So I was really saving this for another service, and we may do it another time. You know, in this morning service, I said I intended to do more in 2 Timothy. Well, let's just go ahead and chew on it now. So open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And again, and if you were saved 3 days ago and you're hearing this message, I pray God's mercy on you. You know, 1 Corinthians 3, when you're young, I mean, there is a time for growth, you know. I want to remind you again, even before I start into this message, about on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached, it says there were 3,000 added to the Lord that day. And then just a few days later, with the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful, and Peter preached again, it says 5,000 men were added that day. You reckon when those guys went home, they talked to their wives? So I think there was more than 5,000 that day. But let's just say, you know, the first two preaching that we have record of in the book of Acts, 8,000 added to the Lord. You know, if those people stayed with the basic gospel message, as long as they didn't turn away from the blood of Jesus, I'm confident all of them made it to heaven. And the Lord is real happy about that. But see, Jesus, we've been studying on the parable of the sower in Mark's account, Luke's account, Matthew's account. And he says, you know, a lot of people hear the word and receive it with gladness at first, and they're real happy about it. But then when persecution or affliction comes for the word's sake, they get offended and they turn away. Others, it says, they just get caught up in the cares of this life and the daily living, and you just get busy, and they turn away. Well, what he means by that, it's not necessarily turn away from Jesus, but the word becomes unfruitful. That's the best way to say it. It just becomes unfruitful. Let's say it another way. A famous preacher once said, because the Lord said to him in a vision, it says, most ministers, not just most people, but most ministers live and die and never step into the first stage of their calling from God. Now that's a scary thought to me. That's a really scary thought. It doesn't mean they weren't busy either. They may have been doing this. See, if I'd have grown up, if I'd have stayed in the denomination I grew up in, there's no doubt in my mind I'd be pastoring a little church somewhere. And that's in the permissive will of God. That's way out on the edge of His will. It'd be okay. He'd be blessing it. I'd probably be out there teaching tongues as of the devil and miracles as passed away. I probably would. That's what they taught me. You know, if I'd gone to their Bible school, that's what they would have reinforced that even more. But that doesn't mean God wouldn't bless what I was doing. And whatever truth I was preaching, He would anoint that, and people would get saved. See, now, they wouldn't get baptized with the Holy Ghost. They might not get healed, but at least they could get saved. So what I'm trying to tell you is there is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And if we're going to really start chewing on meat, I already know I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. As we press into these things, condemnation, he's going to try and come with condemnation and make you feel like God's mad at you. Listen, you remember that person that time that came to Pastor Dave and says, well, I'm so condemned, I told the Lord I was going to fast for 21 days, and I only made it 4 days, and then I broke my fast and I started eating, and this person felt so condemned. Dave said, now let's see now. Most Christians, once they get born again, they just, you know, they live pretty good lives. They go to church, but live their lives, go to heaven. Most of them think fasting is passed away anyhow. Yeah. You know, and they don't do any fasting at all, and yet they make it into heaven. But now you've heard the truth, and so you tried to press in further than the average Christian. You tried to do more than what most of them are doing. And you didn't make it as far as you wanted to, but you tried. And you think God is mad at you because you didn't make it the first time you tried? He's not docking you for that. So now if we're going to start looking into the things of 2 Timothy here, understand that the things he's writing to Timothy is not really to Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public. But then again, neither are you. You're not here on a Sunday night after two services already. If you're just trying to breeze along and make heaven, how many want to find out their calling? See, you want to walk in the fullness of it too, buddy, not just around the edges of it. I know that, and that's why you're here. So with that in mind, now we're going to go into this tonight. But there is no condemnation. Now, you're already, just the fact you're here tonight is different from most Christians, okay? So 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now here's just a verse every Christian loves. Everybody loves this verse. This is what everybody's happy about. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now see, we're really teaching on Ephesians. If you want to know the truth of it, what is it? "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And when you've done all to stand, stand therefore," and so on. It's a warfare. And especially if you're going to be a minister, you're going to wind up doing warfare with those principalities, powers. Well, you're going to have to endure some hardness. You can't remain a crystal vase that's so delicate, maybe beautiful to look at. I like crystal. Crystal's good. You know, I notice most soldiers don't carry crystal canteens. You ever notice that? They're useless to them out there in the field. You don't carry a crystal canteen. You carry something that'll stand warfare, see? And that, God's trying to make us into good soldiers that can endure hardness. Endure, does that endurance? Does that remind anybody of anything? Yes. What is the very first word that ever came to the prayer center? On your way out tonight, look on the left side of the foyer and you'll see it. It's a prophecy that came through Dave. The first word that ever came for the prayer center, endurance is the key. Well, endurance is something that most Americans don't have in great abundance. Endurance is something most charismatic Christians don't have in abundance. You know, I'll do confession if it works by noon. If it don't work by noon, I'm done with it. Well, that's not really how it works. So endure hardness as a good soldier. And then he says, no man that wars, like a soldier that's enlisted, you know, he's in the army. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now let's just stop right there for a minute. We looked at a verse in Colossians. I'll look it up. I think I can find it pretty quick here. This morning service, we was looking at Colossians chapter 3, where it says, "If you then be risen with Christ." We've been studying Ephesians. If you're born again, how many of you know we've been quickened together with him, raised up together with him, seated together in him, in heavenly places. So this is you. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Where above? In the clouds? No, higher than that. "Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." And the reason he's telling you that, you're seated in that same place. That authority and that position of sonship belongs to you. And he's saying you need to set your affection, and the real Greek word there is your mind. You need to think on these things until your mind becomes renewed to them. And then he says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Now here to Timothy, he says, if you're going to be a warrior, if you're going to really be in the army, if you're going to be in this part in Ephesians 6 that puts on the whole armor of God and really does warfare with the enemy, now, you're not going to like this part. The enemy's going to attack your stuff. People on your job, you're going to get persecution. Let me just give you a preview, because we may not get far enough down here tonight. I'm not even going to start this chapter unless you let me read this to you. Come on down to chapter 3, verse 12. "Yea, and only Dave, Gary, and Tim will live godly and suffer persecution." Yes. Is that what it says in your Bible? Yeah, she goes, yeah, it says that actually. She's been writing in her Bible. All. Mine says, "Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That not only means persecution from unbelieving people, it also means the more you become that warrior, the more of a target you're going to become. It's just exactly like Paul said over there, because of the abundance of his revelations. But he didn't just sit on them. See, he didn't just sit on those revelations. He went to war with those. That was his weapons of his warfare. That was what he used to wage war. Well, the more he did that, the devil did everything he could to stop the man. And he had to assign his personal messenger, the Angelos of Satan himself. It'd be like, in my thinking, it'd be like Michael or Gabriel. You know, it'd be that level, but only on the demon side. It'd be like Satan's right-hand demon, and assigned to stop him. Well, it says here, you better endure some hardness. You better learn how to do it. And don't become so entangled with the affairs of this life, stuff that be on the earth. Man, if that's what matters and he attacks your stuff, won't be long, you'll be going back down to the first church just trying to make heaven now. This is what Dave says. We all, when you first hear this message, you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I'm ready to go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fulfill my call. And after you come back with your eyebrow singed off, say, I'm just going to go back to the first church and be a nice little Christian just trying to make heaven now. We'll let Dave and Tim go ahead and have revival. I'm just going to be nice now, you know. Well, that's what he wants, too. He's trying to stop you. See, it's a warfare. It's a real warfare. All right. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. You can build, this goes back to, you can build a big church, you can build a big ministry. You can fall back on man's ways. There's a lot of ministries that operate pretty much like a business. And it's not that they're horrible. It's not like they're totally against God or anything. But they're big because man made them big. And people like what they're doing. And people are attracted to it. But yet you can't take Tommy Perez there and get him out of the wheelchair. You can't take the blind, the lame, the crippled. You can't do it on any kind of consistent basis, see? Well, what we're after, we're not trying to build something with man's strength. We're not trying to do something illegal regarding the kingdom of heaven. Plus, we're not willing to change the doctrine just to get more money to come in. Amen. And it'd be real easy to do. Could have done that 20 years ago if we wanted to go that way. We've already made, I don't care if we're out here in the cornfield next week, we're going to be preaching the truth the next time you see us. See? We're going to do it lawfully. We're going to do it lawfully, according to what God allows. All right. That's enough on that. Any of these verses, you could do a lot of teaching on. Okay, verse 6. The husbandman that labors must first be partaker of the fruits. The husbandman that labors. He's talking about, we're back to the guy out in the field. He's garnering in the grain, okay? He is talking about, in an oblique way here, he is talking about support those that labor in the field, those that labor in the word among you, those that are out there like Dave. I do not want to say, and when I say this, I don't mean it's anything wrong with being a clerk at any kind of a store, but it's wrong if I see Dave being a clerk in any kind of a store. Not that he couldn't do it. Paul did stuff like that. Paul was a tent maker and paid his own way. There was a reason why he was doing that. Dave could do it, but I don't want him to have to do it out of necessity. Do you? God forbid that the giving drop off to where Dave has to. You know, we want our pastor, and boy, I'd like to know what was going on between him and the Lord during this morning service, wouldn't you? I'd like to know what was going on up there, you know. And hopefully we'll find out as time goes by, but man, I would like to know what's going on. So I want my pastor in fasting. Whether I do or not, I want my pastor in fasting. I'm telling you right now. I want him to endure hardness as a soldier. And I want to pay enough, I want to put enough money in the bucket where he doesn't have to go out and be clerking at any store anywhere. And even though there's nothing wrong with clerking, it's wrong for him to be out there doing it. That's what this is talking about. Well, going on here, he said, now consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. Well, for what? It says, wherein? Wherein what? Well, because he preaches that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he's the beginning of a new species of human. He's Paul was preaching the very things that we're preaching, because we're preaching it from what Paul wrote. So we know what Paul was preaching. You can read Ephesians, read Colossians, read the letters, and you know what he was out there preaching. And he says, because I preach that, I'm suffering trouble, even to the point of being put in prison. So they've bound me, but notice, he said, but the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. And in another place, we could tell you that he started winning the guards, the very Roman guards in the prison. He started winning them to Jesus. Well, verse 10, therefore, here's that word again. Here's that word we all love. Therefore I what?
Endure.
Therefore I endure. See, he's a doer of what he preaches here. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. See, and this follows so close with this morning's message when Jesus, unless you take up your cross, from all three Gospels we looked it up, when are we going to start taking up our cross? Now see, none of us are called to die for the sins of the world. He knew that. That's not what he means. There's only one qualified for that. That's Jesus. That was his cross. The question is, just like God had an assignment for him, God has an assignment for you. And apparently, there are no exceptions. In order for you to bear that cross, cross only means one thing. Cross means death. And in order for you to fulfill your call, apparently, there's going to be some death to your flesh too. Unless you take up your cross and follow me. And the one of them says, daily. Take up your cross daily. So let's reinforce this morning's thought again. You wake up in the morning. We're trying to have a renewed mind here. You wake up in the morning. The very first thought is, who am I today? We remember we went to Galatians 2:20. It says, Paul says, well, I am crucified with Christ. Well, what I is he talking about? We went to Romans 6 where he said, it's the old man. We know this, the old man is crucified with him. So when Paul wakes up in the morning, if he dies daily, he's saying something like in his own mind, all right, now today, flesh, old man, you're staying on that cross where you belong. We're not going to live for you today. That part of me is on the cross. But that new man that God gave me at the new birth, the one he describes in Ephesians, the one that's created in righteousness and true holiness, you're going to rule today. And it doesn't matter what my flesh says about it, my flesh is on the cross. Got that? Now see, that's a renewed mind. That's exactly the same thing as in Ephesians chapter 4, 22, 23, 23 and 24. Put off the old man. Put him off, and now I know where to put him. Now I know where to put him. Where do you put him every day? Right on the cross. Right on the cross. Put him off. Put him off where? Put him on the cross. Every day. Every day. That rascal he's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're not going to live according to him today. No. We're going to put on that new man. Which one is that? That's the one God gave you when you got born again. He's really already in there. And he is created in the image of Christ. Just like the old man was created in the image of fallen Adam, if you'll allow me. This one is created in the image of the last Adam, and that's Christ. That nature is already righteous and holy. We're going to live that way today. Amen. Hallelujah. Got that? Well, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain that salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Y'all remember when Dave talks about the days after, when he talks about the glory days, and what he means by that is after he kind of hit it big and had his own airplanes and he was out on the circuit, and you know, he'd go to all these camp meetings, and he loved parking his airplane right next to Charles Capp's airplane. He liked that kind of thing, see, you know, and of course everybody would like that kind of thing. But he said, at the time, the popular doctrine that was going around, they were trying... See, it's so easy to get off. Y'all keep praying for all of us, because we're hoping not to get one degree off. It's so easy to do it. See, from that very thing that I just said a while ago, there's a part of you that is created in righteousness and true holiness. You got one degree off on that doctrine at the time Dave was talking about, and they were teaching... And they would couple that up with the over in Romans 7. Well, if I sin, then it's no longer I that do it, because with my mind I agree that the law is good, but yet I commit sin. Therefore, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So they were saying, see, you get one degree off when you're thinking, then the end result of where they went with that was, well, see, then it doesn't really matter how you live. Because your spirit's reborn. You don't sin with your spirit, you're just sinning with your soul. So you can pretty well, if you carry that to the nth degree, you can live any way you want to and you'll still be okay because it's not really you that's doing the sinning. Do y'all think that's what the Bible teaches? They were teaching that. Well, that's what Dave was hearing out on the circuit. That was popular at the time. And the devil began to, you know, the devil or his flesh began negotiating with him with that, hearing it again and hearing it again. So he began, you know, everybody's warfare, everybody's battling the flesh. End result, he started having thoughts like this. See, you can have God in the world too. Yeah, you remember him talking about this in the past? You can have God in the world too. Now, he never goes into detail exactly what that means. I don't know. But you can see the temptation, see. No, you really can't. At least you can't and really live as a minister. See, now remember, we're talking about things now beyond making heaven now. We're talking about you walking in the fullness of your calling here. You're not going to be able... You can't walk as a dead man and a live man at the same time. You're either dead or alive. That's from this morning's message. Your old man is dead, but you can't walk side by... But that's what most Christians are literally trying to do. They're trying to walk with the dead man, the old man, and the new man somehow together. And you can read it in Galatians. Those two are hostile one to the other. They are hostile. And they continually war against one another. Your new man is like Joshua from the Old Testament. And he has been commanded not to make any treaties with any ites in the land. All those ites are represented by that old man. And that's the one that's supposed to be put on the cross. God's not calling us to make heaven and just live with all the world that we possibly can and still squeak into heaven. That's not God's plan for any Christian, but it's certainly not His plan for you at the prayer center. It's certainly not His plan for us if we're going to walk in the fullness of our calling. I just, see, when I do these meat messages, though, there's no shouting. God loves you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, okay. Now, if words mean anything, I think words mean stuff. I think words are important. You know, everything you believe, somehow or another, was passed down by words. So I like to look at this and go, now, this is a faithful saying. If we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. So I like to go, well, what if we're not? Well, there's nothing on earth more miserable than a backslidden Christian. I mean, if you're truly born again, yet you're out there living like a sinner, you know, you just go back to whatever it was, like the Bible say, a dog returns to its vomit and a sow to its wallowing in the mud. Man, if you're truly born again, there's a nature on the inside of you that can't really enjoy that sin anymore. And it's all the time condemned. That's not life. You'd be better off just to go ahead and die the death. What do you mean, Gary? Plant your britches into a chair, begin to pray and fast, and let the Holy Spirit start putting the death to that old man, where he doesn't rule and reign anymore, see? Look at this next one. It says, here's that other famous word. This is... I was going to give you a milkshake. This is all Mike's fault. I'm just telling you now, it's all Mike's fault. Mike and John. If we what?
Suffer.
This must be a different kind of Bible, because that's not taught in most churches now, is it? Now, he's not talking about the suffering of sickness, although the devil may try you with that, but that's really not what he's talking about here to Timothy. You're going to suffer what? We just looked at it a while ago.
Persecution.
If you're really going to start living like the new creature, let's say it that way, like the new species of human that you really are, especially if you start talking like it. Yes, I do speak to cancer. And I have absolute dominion in Jesus' name over cancer. And it obeys me every time. It has no choice. Honey, you go talking like that? You're about to suffer some persecution. Even though you can give them chapter and verse for every statement I just said, you're going to suffer some persecution. Or how about this? I could just go right back to that little stone church down there in Pottawatomie County. I could go, they let me preach there next Sunday, and I got up and said, just wanted to let you know that the Lord told me none of us have to sin anymore. I'm telling you right now, they're going to run you out of town on a rail. I'm going to suffer. Or if I just say, well, now tongues is for today. Listen to this. I'm going to suffer some persecution. You're not normal. Get it straight. You're not what the world calls normal, and be happy about that. You're already crazier than you think. From their point of view, you're already crazier than what you think. You start talking, you talk like we talk around them and just see what happens. Anyway. So if we suffer, here we get back to this, we shall also reign with Him. Now, reign doesn't mean R-A-I-N if you're listening. It means like a king, to reign, R-E-I-G-N. Now again, I like to turn that one around. Well, what if I don't like suffering, Brother Gary? Brother Gary, I don't like suffering. I don't like it at all. I think Dave should suffer. And I think Tim should suffer, and maybe you should suffer. But Gary, I don't want to suffer. Well, do you want to reign? Oh, I want to reign. I want to have dominion when I talk. I want to rule and reign as a king. Well, do you want to suffer? No. What's the first level of suffering? What's the first level? Where does it start at this church? With the message you've heard, where does it start, people?
Prayer.
Anyone ever? I remember those early days. Now, see, it wasn't so hard for me, to be honest with you, out in the trucks. I mean, God really got me easily into this message because I was stuck out there anyway. And my soul was occupied with stuff. If you're driving an 80,000-pound rig down the road, your mind is on what you're, hopefully, on what you're doing. So I just pray, and I watch the scenery go by, and so my soul was very occupied, and it was not real hard to do it driving. Man, when I come off the road, and I'm just going to go sit somewhere, and I remember some of those early commitments. I'm going to go pray 4 hours. Let's say 2 hours. Start somewhere. How about 1 hour? Y'all remember? Yes, I'm going to go pray 1 hour in other tongues. Get over there and you sit down. There's nothing to look at. You know, you're just maybe in a room or maybe sitting on your back porch or something, hoping a cricket will hop by. Anything. And you just start. You're going to pray a whole hour, maybe 2 hours, whatever it was you said. Here you go. This is going to be great. God's going to come, going to rule and reign with Jesus. Hallelujah. 10 minutes go by. You think surely it's been an hour. You look at your watch. For the love of God, it's only 10 minutes. How am I going to endure this, you know? And that's the first level. That's the first level of the warfare, the trouble, the persecution. Nobody likes that. The soul does not like that. It does not understand even what you're praying. It doesn't know what's going on. It's bored. It's looking for anything. Like I said, a cricket to hop by, a blue jay, anything. God, you know, just start looking at the clouds. I remember I was like a little kid. I said, that looks like an elephant right there. My soul was so bored out of its mind and let's not even talk about fasting. Now, you already know that fasting, you know, that's not pleasant for anybody. If we suffer with Him, well, that first level of suffering is just doing those things. Paul, in the early days, you know, he started off preaching a house of fire, and everywhere he went, it stirred up trouble. It's had to come and take him. He says, okay, I'm going to take you out here. We're going to go home, boy. Took him out, got him away from that. And I forget now how many. He was out there a long time. Now, I think that's really where Paul got his training by the Holy Ghost. I think he prayed out there in the desert, and that's where he got a lot of his doctrine and information, praying. Then when he came back, by the way, when they took him, I'd have to look it up for you, but when he came and took him away, it says, then had the church peace. But Paul, he was on fire, but he didn't have very much temper yet. He hadn't been molded yet. He was just like a flaming dagger out there, you know. Well, if we suffer with him, I'm telling you right now, the first level of that suffering, say, so we're going to sit here whether you like it, whether you don't like it. Now, one of the things you can do to help that is learn to read your Bible and pray softly, and I mean softly, in other tongues. At first, I couldn't hardly do it, and I was praying too loud. I was trying to read my Bible and pray like this. That sound is interfering with my intellect. My intellect is trying to listen to what I'm saying. So I learned to do it almost under my breath, but it's real words. And I just learned to read. It's because what that does, that occupies your soul. It gives your soul something to focus on. Well, so I do it like this. And I'm reading my Bible and praying in other tongues. Now, Dave says the best, if you want the most rapid transformation, he says, when you're doing that, you're basically fasting your soul from anything but the Word of God. You're praying the understanding of God's Word. And he says, if you really want to kick in the afterburners, do that while you're doing some physical fasting. Separate. See, that's a big part of what he does when he separates himself for seasons, what we call a seeking time. Pretty much, he's fasting food. He's only reading the Word or in worship, you know, that type of thing. But only the Word, no TV, nothing else. And in praying in other tongues. Now you're fasting your body, you're fasting your soul from anything but the Word of God, and at the same time you're praying the understanding of that Word. He said, boy, you've kicked in the afterburners now. The more you can do that, the faster your transformation will be. Well, going on here. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Of course, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. You know, here we go. See, Mike? There's no such thing as once saved, always saved, if you turn away from Jesus. Now, as long as you don't destroy the foundation, which is Christ and Him crucified, that is the foundation. Now, a lot of people backslide, but they don't ever deny Christ. A lot of people have trouble, and they backslide and come back, you know. But as long as you don't turn away from Him as being your Savior, you can still make heaven in that condition. But now, if you deny Him, what that means is, that doesn't mean just say no to Him. What that means is, I no longer believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I no longer believe that His blood paid the price for my sins. I'm going to become an atheist, or I'm going to become a Buddhist, or I'm going to turn to Muhammad. In their case, in their generation, it was mostly, I'm going to turn back to the law. And if you deny Him, He said, I'm going to deny you before my Father. See, right there, it'll get me through. I'd suffer persecution just for preaching that one verse where I grew up. Verse 13, now if we believe not, yet He abides faithful. Jesus is the Word. You may get off into unbelief, but you're not going to get Him off into unbelief. And He may be trying to get something across to you that you flat don't want to believe. You believed it, your daddy believed it, his daddy believed it, and you may go off and hope that He's going to forget about that. Next time you circle back around 3 years down the road, you come back to pray, He's going to take you right back to that same place. Because He's not going to change. See? So if we believe not, yet He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And then he says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. Now we're going to come into a time of this now. People try to get me into a lot of this these days. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now I'm just going to give you one example. I don't know of anybody in this room that was guilty of this one, but hearing my voice, maybe you're one of those that says this. If so, I know you won't like me, and I apologize that you won't like me, but the truth is the truth anyway. There's people that teach and have gotten right in my face about it, that the reason we're not having more miracles is that we use the name of Jesus. Well, his name is Yeshua. His name is Yeshua, and so how can you possibly expect anything to happen if you're saying stuff in the name of Jesus when that's really not his name? And they'll go, I mean, there are whole ministries built around this doctrine. Now, they have other things too, but there are whole ministries built around this, and they are not kidding. They are serious as a box of rocks. But see, I'm a simple guy, and in many ways, I'm thankful for that. When they're telling me that, I'm already remembering in my lifetime the number of times God has done miracles, and I didn't pray in the name of Yeshua. I prayed in the name of Jesus, and they got healed. You come too late to tell me it matters. It doesn't matter. And besides, I've been to Korea, and over there, how do they say it? It's a Jesus, kind of almost like a Spanish. Other places, it's Isi. And I forget what it was in South, in Zulu. But it was very interesting. Their language is... Just time out real quick. Man, that is a line clock. Different languages and different cultures. You know, that year that Sue and I got to travel around, I'd go to Poland, and I'd just say something like, Jesus really loves you, and there's a translator, and the flavor of that language is kind of like this. Iwisi kawisi kawisi. And it's kind of very, you know, like it got a lot of wisi in it. I don't know what it would be in Chinese, but it was, in Polish it was kawisi kawisi kawisi. I'd say that same thing. I got to go to South Africa and preach in Zulu, and where there's Zulus in the tent. And I'd say that, Jesus really loves you. And even a phrase like that, not just the words, but the way he said it. You know, Unguda manguda bankura. Red bulgy. Holy smokes. Is that what I said? Yeah. Unguda manguda. You know. I said, my goodness. Then I go to Korea, and their language is so different from ours, you know. It's a wachawa, so wala wa, so wada. And it goes on and on. And what I noticed there, now, I might say something like, Jesus really loves you. And then they start, in, you know, translating. And they go, Ichi wachi wichi wa, ko wachi wachi wa, Ichi wachi 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 wa, Ichi wachi wachi wa. And I'm thinking, you know, it's taking all these words to say, Jesus really loves you. And then I'd say something like really long. I'd like read this whole chapter. And he'd go, Ichi wa. And for those of you that haven't traveled yet, when you start, I never knew it until I went to Poland. That's the first place we went. And the first time I'd ever had a line for people to receive the Holy Ghost. And we had about 10 people come up. And so I'm like, just like with you guys the other day, and I'm praying for them, and they start talking. And I don't know if it's Polish. I don't know what they're saying. I called the pastor over and said, are they talking in Polish or are they talking in tongues? I don't know what they're doing. Oh, things you learn. I'm telling you, it gets exciting out there. It gets exciting, you know. But when he says here, striving about words to no profit. Now, listen, y'all know, as a teacher, I do enjoy the Greek words and the tenses, and they're important. They really are. But there's one, I'm not going to tell you who, I'm not going to tell you after the service either. Okay, and I'm not going to tell you if you email me or nothing. But there's a famous, famous minister that I have high regard for in many areas. World famous. Everybody in here would know if I told you the name. Now, I don't really have time to teach this. It's in that passage in Galatians where it says, God is not mocked, a man reaps what he sows. And I taught, which is accurate from there, that's not really... You know, they teach it like, okay, here's how you prosper. You got to sow, and you can't sow oranges if you want apples. You can't sow, you know, if you want a new car, you need to sow a car. If you need whatever, they say, you know, God's not mocked, a man reaps what he sows. Trouble of it is, I mean, and I know it says that if you leave it just that verse all by itself, but if you put it in the context, he's really talking about supporting ministers of the word financially so that you'll reap from the Spirit life everlasting. You'll reap the revelation of that man. So it's really not even talking about what they're saying. Well, this man heard me teach it. Oh, I was the subject of his letter the next month, even though he didn't mention me by name. It was obvious. Anybody who read the letter knew. And he went into the Greek of the Greek of the Greek. of that one verse, lifted it out by itself. But I could have told him before he did all that, that if you lift that verse out by itself, it's sure it says, a man reaps what he sows, God is not mocked. Or God is not mocked, a man reaps what he sows. And so, the end result of his letter, I was wrong, this is right. He is striving about words to no profit. Striving, and what is it? Let's look at it. Is that the way it says it? That they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And that's exactly what he was doing. He wanted to prove his point, and he got, and you couldn't deny what he said if you only look at the one verse. I'm going to show it to you because some of you are looking at me like a dog at a new gate, or whatever Dave says. Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 6. I've taught this so many times, I always assume y'all know it, but we got new people here. And it's a real, see, if it's verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. If you just leave that out, if you just lift it out by itself, absolutely it says, and you can prove it from the Greek, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now if you lift it out by its saying, and by itself, and you just take it just like that, then you can build a whole doctrine around there saying, now see there, if you need a car, you need to sow a car. If you need money, you need to sow money. If you know, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And then, of course, they go into the, link that up with other verses, you know, like if you measure with a teaspoon, God's going to give you back with a teaspoon. I've already been, see, and I believed all of that. I went through all of that in the 80s, anyway. Okay, I went through all of that. But now let's look at it in the context. Start, if we put verse, God forbid, we put verse 6 and 8 with it. Let him that is taught in the word, now, so what's going on? Somebody's being taught. Communicate, and that Greek word there means share with, communicate, have fellowship with, him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But now then he says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In plain English, he's saying, you're going to use that money for something. You're going to spend it on your bass boat. You're going to spend it on Krispy Kreme donuts. You're going to spend it on a new pair of shoes. Ladies, guys only need one pair. Anyway, you're going to spend it on something, or you can use it to help support this minister who's got some revelation. You can use it to share, help keep him in, like we're doing with Dave, keep Dave in fasting and prayer. If you sow your money towards the Spirit, if you do that, this guy who's teaching you the Word, from that Word, you're going to reap from God's Spirit revelation that pertains to your eternal life. God, that's good stuff, see? So when are you going to get around to, I'm tired of all these death messages. I'm tired of all this dying to self. And I'm tired of all this stuff. When are we going to get back to God loves me and He wants me to prosper and I'm 100-fold for every dollar I give? We're not ever, ever going back to that. Not ever. Don't want none of that. Not ever. You're at the wrong church for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, we'll start in verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? In other words, Paul led this whole bunch to Christ in the first place anyway. Anyway, he planted this church. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. So my answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas. I always like to use that one with my Catholic friends. That's Peter. Peter had a wife. Or I only and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? In other words, as an apostle, he's plainly saying he has authority, if he chooses to use it, not to have to wait tables, not to have to work. He's going, we have that authority. Are only I and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working as full-time ministry apostles? Who goes to warfare any time at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, that it is written, he that plows should plow in hope. He that threshes in hope should be partakers of his hope. Now here's the verse. I said all that to get to this. This is Galatians 6 right here. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now that's exactly the same principle that he writes over there in Galatians 6. In Galatians 6 he says, when ministers come to bring you spiritual truth, you need to support them by sowing your carnal resources so that they can continue in their ministry of the word and prayer. That's what he's saying. But yet, in Galatians 6, that other minister who's striving about words says, no, it doesn't mean that. Because that's what I taught. I said, they were sowing something carnal to reap something spiritual. And he's going, no, it doesn't mean that at all. You reap what you sow. Had a whole 5-page letter about it. See? Going to the Greek of the Greek. But here's a second witness. No. My job is to come and sow into you spiritual things. Dave's job is to do that. And as we do that, it's not robbery if people help us financially. So that I don't have to be out clerking either. Which I'm willing to. I mean, I tried to keep working and serve God and He wouldn't let me. Well, wouldn't let me. He didn't want me to. Put it that way. Hallelujah. Now, the reason we got off into that, we close with this. Go back to Timothy. I know you. 2 Timothy. It's going to get more and more so. I have to be careful these days. There are people. I want to help people. Obviously, I wouldn't do what I do if I didn't want to help people and have you understand more and more about God and how to walk in His ways. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that want to argue with me about words just to be right. They just want to be right. They want to be the best. They want to be known. And I don't have time. I just flat don't have time. Plus, I have Scripture not to get involved with that very much. But it says right here, we'll close today on this. Obviously, we got a long ways to go. If y'all want some meat, get into 2 Timothy. Get into 1 and 2 Peter. You want some meat, do you? You want to chew on some beef? Get into 1 and 2 Peter. Get into 1 and 2 Timothy. There's some meat for you there. Get into Titus. That's where the pages are still new, you know. We'll finish with, okay, we were in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Let's go one more verse. Maybe two, maybe three. No. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. Charging them before the Lord. Charging them as if Jesus was standing right there. What's the charge? Quit arguing about words. Now stop it. Quit arguing about this and that little deal. The Pharisees were famous, every little jot and tittle. Do you love your brother? Or don't you? No, I don't love him. You need to pray. That's all the arguing you need to do. See? Well, I want to know about the jot and the tittle in Yeshua. Well, go argue with somebody that has time for that. I don't have time for that nonsense. Okay? We're on our way to a revival. We don't have time to be striving about words just to the subverting of the hearers. And in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto man. I don't care what those guys think. God delivered me from what man thinks years and years ago, and I don't care at all. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Now, I know exactly what that means, needs not to be ashamed. I am ashamed. I mean, the blood has covered it. I told, back in the day when I didn't know this message, I didn't know how to hear God for myself. I didn't know how to get the Holy Ghost to be my teacher. All I knew was what was taught on TV and what I heard on tapes. So I used to teach to New Testament believers, you're cursed if you don't tithe. I used to teach it myself, tell it strong. I told Sue's sister one time, got right in her face, and I'm ashamed of it. I said, even God can't help you because you don't tithe. Boy, I went back years later, begged for mercy, begged for forgiveness, because I don't know what all damage I did to her. See? If somebody's listening to my voice right now and they're going, what's wrong with that? Well, you've been sitting under false teachers. Amen. If you're a New Testament Christian and you think you're cursed if you don't tithe, you're sitting under false teachers. Yeah. That doesn't mean they don't love God. It means they're false teachers. They're deceived. I'm not saying they're not on their way to heaven. I said they're deceived on that point. You are not either. Jesus already bore the curse of the law. Besides that, that law was never given to your species. You're not even of that species that that law was given to. Hallelujah. Well, verse 16, let's finish up with this. Oh, I didn't finish 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If y'all want to pray for Dave, and if you want to pray for Tim and Gary and Alan and Mark and all these others that are coming along, that's going to be coming along, this is a prayer I pray for myself all the time. Father, I need to rightly divide your word. Father, keep me from getting one degree off. I can't afford to be one degree off. That's why I sit on them sometimes 2 years, 3 years, before I feel a release to teach it. Because sometimes you think you've got it, and you don't have it. And it's not ready yet. If you've never heard the widow's mite, yeah, it'll change your life now. Yeah. He had me sit on that revelation 3 years before he let me teach it. And I kept meditating it and studying it out and looking at it in all the Gospels and checking it all six ways from Sunday, if you'll allow me to say it that way. By the time he finally let me teach it, I had no doubt. And it was right, and it's still right today. But you got to rightly divide the word of truth. But shun, stay away from, profane and vain babblings. In modern language, that means turn your television off. Especially when it comes to offering time. I never heard such nonsense in my life. I thought it was bad in the 80s. It's worse. You're coming up with stuff. Vain babblings. And they will increase, and those are going to increase unto more ungodliness. Boy, if he thought it did then, Paul, you ought to see it today. Well, we got to stop. Hallelujah. Thank you. Is your meatometer okay now? Was that meaty enough? All right. Okay, good deal. I don't want to get stoned out of here now. Dave doesn't do anything by accident. He doesn't do anything by coincidence. And if the Lord, it's not unusual to start having communion a couple of weeks before conference. But to have it this far before conference, God's doing that on purpose. So, if I was you, and I'm doing it myself, we've had situations in my own family right now where I have opportunity, I've got to get on my face again. I've got to pray for people that's despitefully using my family. I've got to pray for somebody who's doing bad things. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me not to have, I'm a human like it, no I'm not. My emotions tend to gravitate naturally towards unforgiveness like anybody else. How's that? But I got to work at it like you do. So and I'm sure I'm not the only one. So if the Lord at this early stage is starting to have us take communion now, something's coming. Something good this way comes. Okay? Something good this way comes. So let the Holy Spirit do His work now and be asking the Lord. There's all kinds of situations going on where there can be grievances and hard feelings and all kinds of stuff. So the only way I know to do with it is the way he taught me in the beginning. This one particular person, that it'd be real easy. And if I told you the situation, of course I tell it from my point of view, and you guys would agree with me. But I only know how to do it one way, and that's to get on my knees and say, Father, I pray for this man. I'm asking you to bless this man. Father, with all that I know how to do, I forgive him. Father, I'm praying, and if I get opportunity, I'll try and do good to him. You show me how to do it. Okay? That's the only way I know to do it. And then what will happen then, one day your heart will literally change. And that unforgiveness is gone. And you start seeing that person through God's eyes. God loves that person. God's trying to save that person. So let him do it through you. I heard this. This is a practice run. I'll just tell you one need, because it's beyond, I think, the capability of anybody in here to meet it. So you know I'm not doing it for you to write the check now. A printing run for Dave's book, I believe, is $6,000. Okay? Minimum. That's the lease run. I think the one they like to make where they get the best deal is $10,000. We need, how many think we might need some books before the conference? Yeah, so we need it today. He's saying it takes 6 weeks after it's paid for to get them. Okay? Now, I don't know everybody here. I'm not asking anybody this. But what I felt like he was saying, I'm going to lead you in a confession. This is a trial practice run. To see, when we say it, see if your heart is okay with it. And if it's not, then we got a ways to go. So, let's do it like this. My bank account is full.
My bank account is full.
Because my king has found stewards.
Because my king has found stewards.
He can trust.
He can trust.
And I'm one of them.
And I'm one of them.
So, Father,
if you need $6,000
or $10,000
to print the books for the conference,
I don't want you to go to Daisy's house first.
I want you to come to my house first.
If you say you want it,
if you say you want it,
and I've got it,
it's yours.
Now you got to start thinking like that. I want to remind you again of the first time, and I know we're not normally supposed to let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. This was years ago. I just use it because it's personal experience. But Sue and I were learning. We wanted to learn how to become better stewards, and we started believing God for $5,000. We wanted to be able to give $5,000 to the person. And so we started calling it in, just exactly the same thing we're doing here. We had no way, and we have no job, we have no income, we have no anything at the time. And God started moving. Small ways, this, that, there, we started setting it aside. And the day came when we were able to write out a check for $5,000 to the prayer center. Now, we found out that day whether there were still some money changers in the temple. Because we're sitting there. We're about to write out the check. We're praying. At the time, I was driving a 12-year-old pickup. It's like my left eye rebelled against me and looked out the window, like just the left one. The right one didn't, but the left one. I couldn't help but look out there at my 12-year-old pickup that needed to be replaced. That's what I thought about. The house we were living in, the carpet had not been replaced since the 70s. Okay, this was quite a while back. We had two cats and three dogs over the years, and 55 people a week in our house for Bible studies for a time. The carpet needed to be replaced. I think Sue's left eye. Now here having $5,000 extra in any way was not normal to us at that time. Let's say it that way, at that time. But he's training us, grooming us, see. And I mean, you find out the money changers are not all dead. I was so glad to write that check and get down here and put it in that bucket. Get rid of that thing. Get it out of here. He was able to do it. But I knew right then, because of the struggle, all the money changers hadn't left, see. So just know now that your time's coming. Your times are coming, see. But that's what he's talking. This is for real. Yes, sir. I'll just give you examples of things to come. He's going to have you pay to send Dave to Japan. You personally, not you collectively. If you're going to really be his steward, there was a time he came to Sue and I. Says, the end result of it was, give a $5,000 check to that person and you can't deduct it. Because it was to an individual. For stuff that wasn't pertaining to the ministry. Do it anyway. Why? Here we go. God, you said what? Yeah. Pay taxes on it and still give it to them. The way we do it these days, all these teachings will be on the message. The confessions are going to be truncated on this one because we're just running kind of long.